Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week, we take a close look at one of the appearances that she has made in the last 2,000 years. And yeah, she's made quite a few appearances, starting in 40 AD and right up to the present day. And many people aren't aware of this, didn't know about it. I was one that didn't know about it for most of my life until the last 12 years. And in the last 12 years, I've learned a lot about her visits. And as I started to talk to fellow Catholics, they didn't know about most of them. They knew about five or six. I've studied 100 now. And that sounds like a lot until you realize there's over 2,600 of them. And then you realize, oh, 100 doesn't sound like much at all. But it's the 100 best documented, best investigated, and approved visits, which, hey, how many times does it have to be real to be real? If it's real 15 times, it's pretty real. So, you know, when the Vatican makes their official approval, people might say, well, they've only approved 17 or 18. Hey, how many times do you have to say the Virgin is real to be real? So anyway, what we do is we go over the details, the messages, the impact of the visit, why it happened, where it happened, and what kind of impact it may have had. For example, when the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe occurred with Juan Diego and the Bishop of Mexico City there, 9 million Indians converted to Catholicism in the next few years. 9 million. So that shows the impact that such a visit could have. In other places, a huge cathedral or basilica may have been built to honor her visit, or other things were done to honor her visits. And so we look at every aspect of these visits, especially the messages, warnings, predictions, anything she might have given us. And I will say, in all my research, I've never seen a prediction of hers not come true, or a warning not come true. So, because it'd be pretty obvious if it hadn't, but man, it just always seems to happen, and pretty dramatic many times. So anyway, tonight we have an interesting story coming from the South, down in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and I think it's going to be real interesting as we go into that. But first, we'll talk to our team. Here is my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley. How are you tonight, Donald?
Well, I was just listening to the monologue, and I was just looking at how many of these appearances of Our Blessed Mother were to, like, for example, like in the case of St. Albert the Great. Now, think about this. You know, this is interesting. He was born around 1200. And from beautiful Bavaria, which I spent a lot of time there when I was stationed in Germany, I was stationed in Bavaria. Well, he was showing much promise in education when in 1223 he had an encounter with, guess who? The Blessed Virgin Mary, while hunting in the woods for a good catch for the family. Young Albert was suddenly stopped by a most beautiful lady. How many times have we heard this? Whose voice spoke with such whose voice spoke with such beauty, and whose appearance was like that of pure white, reminded him of what he learned of the Lord Jesus and his transfiguration. The lady identified herself as his mother and was calling him to join a religious order. And this encounter with the Blessed Virgin Mary would play a major role for the rest of St. Albert's life. And he would become the instructor of, guess who? St. Thomas Aquinas, eventually. And so Our Lady. Yeah, so this is an example of where she appeared and intervened in. I mean, a young man was out there hunting in the woods, and she appears to him there. Yeah. So I just think that is awesome. Well,
That's interesting because that's not even one of my 100. So there's, you know, just goes to show you how many there are out there that to look into. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we got Kathy from the great state of Missouri. Hi, Kathy. How you doing?
Hi, Donald. Hi, John. Doing good.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. I got your book, John. Thank you very much.
I did too. Yeah. It's fun. People say it's entertaining, and it's a great way to learn stuff in a fun way.
Yeah.
And I talked to John earlier about it today, and I tell you, this was kind of the way it's written. It's like a daily, my daily experience, because it is well written, and I experience what he's written. We also got Michael from New Jersey. How you doing, Michael?
Oh, fantastic. Looking forward to what we're going to do, what we're going to do tonight.
Yeah.
It's a big one. And along with that, we got Doc from Tennessee.
Hello, Doc.
Hey, Doc.
And hey, Doc. How you doing?
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
Doing great.
John, I want to congratulate you on your book.
Well, thank you.
I need another copy, actually. I was talking to a friend of mine after the show. She's trying to listen in, and she's at a crossroad in her life. She's feeling the pull of the spirit. But a lot of the information she's getting is, you know, it's Protestant. That's her circle. So she had some questions to me last night, and I'm no theologian by any means, but I think I held my own. And I was hearing a voice. Well, I'm going down there, and I read already about half of it, and I was thinking this would be a good book to read on the way down. We're going down to where my friend is, so my wife could read it to the kids on the ride. And and I was thinking, you know, I want to give that book to her, the one you gave me. So if I can get I'll pay for the freight or whatever. I think it would help her, you know, with her. I mean, something's telling me to give it to her, so I'm going to let you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly why I wrote it, because it really, I think, is going to help a lot of people who either aren't quite convinced or confused or misled or, you know, misinformed, or they're listening to all the naysayers out there who don't know what they're talking about. And this book, I think, will straighten out a lot of that confusion and deal it with facts. And of course, all the
actually,
photos
I hope
back it up.
I hope it opens a can of questions. I mean, I hope wait a minute, I never heard of that. Let me check that. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it lights a fire, because a lot of things that she's going to read about, she's never heard of.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be because Protestants don't talk about apparitions. They don't talk about Eucharistic miracles.
That's right.
They don't talk about the miracles. All the miracles happened in the Old Testament. You know, that's what
right.
they know. They don't realize this is happening now. And when I tell her this, you know, I started to mention a couple of things. She's like, what? So here's physical proof. Boom. You know, and I think I'm hoping it lights a fire of inquest in her. She says she's praying every day, no formal prayers or anything like that, but at least she's praying. And I believe the fire's been lit, so we got to fan it.
That's great. And by the way, it just went on Amazon, so it can be easily ordered off of Amazon now.
Okay.
If that's quicker and easier for you.
Yeah, I'll get it that way.
Yeah, and if you have any trouble, let me know. But
I will.
Yeah, that might be faster now. So it went on just this week. So, yeah. Thank you for that, because that's exactly why I wrote it. I'm so sick and tired of all the misinformed and loudmouth and defiant attitudes out there. And so I thought, I'm taking them on.
There you go.
Yeah. And the last chapter is on miracles. So if she wants miracles, the last chapter is the longest one, and it's got the most pictures. So she's going to have a lot of evidence there in the last chapter.
There you go. And that apparition that Don was talking about, it seemed like Mary was setting the ball in motion. She went to the one, and then he turned out to be a teacher of the other, and look at what that turned into. So,
well,
you know,
heaven knows what it's doing.
A plan. Heaven knows what it's doing.
That was no accident, I'm sure.
No.
All known to heaven. So, thank you, Kathy, God, for all that.
Kathy, did you have a comment there, Kathy?
Yeah, I read the first couple. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear
you. Can
you
hear me?
Yeah. An echo.
Yes. Huh?
I can hear you.
There's an echo.
Hold on. Can you hear me now?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can hear you fine.
Good. I read the first couple of chapters yesterday, and I thought to myself, this is so simply put forward that anybody can understand it. And
right.
The facts are put there, you know, it's just, here it is. Here's the facts, and argue with it. You know, there's nothing to argue with. They can go research it themselves, and they're going to find the same facts, because facts are truth, and that's that. So I
Amen.
Thought to myself, too, I need some more. I'll go get me some more copies of this, because there's, for one thing, I could use it in PSR for some kids.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, and then also for, like, some of my friends and family that would have, you know, questions.
Oh, I'm so happy about that. And I tell you what, some of the last chapters even get greater with confession and purgatory and afterlife and angels and prayer and miracles. Oh, my gosh. You guys have so much neat stuff yet to read. And I think it's going to achieve what I hope it will, because I aimed it for fifth grade on up. You know, I figured a fifth grader on up could understand this and get it. And they are the age we need to hit. So youth group,
Amen.
young adults, all of that.
Even a Protestant might be able to understand some of it, because, you know, they're agenda driven.
That's what I'm hoping, because my friends, I mean, they're not religious in any way, shape, or form. They don't go to church. They don't go to mass. They're not Catholic. But the fire's been lit, so we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm excited to hear what kind of feedback you get from people, because, you know, when I write it, it goes out, and then I hope to hear something back. And you guys are a big help to give me the feedback, because I hope and pray it achieves what you guys are already feeling. So, yee-haw. Woo-hoo. Thank you.
It looks beautiful. It looks beautiful. I love the cover. I love everything about it, John. And I think it's
Thank
just
you.
Going to be an opportunity. You know, so.
I like the cover, still, because, you know, I'm from Missouri, and you have to show me.
Did you notice, Kathy, in the intro I said I didn't call it the Show Me
I saw
God
that.
Because I live in the Show Me State.
I saw that.
But anyway, yeah, it's just been a lot of fun to write, because I was arguing with myself, and having been a Protestant, that was interesting as a convert, call some of the old feelings and then the new ones. And then with all the research, that made it a little easier. But anyway, glad you guys are enjoying it.
It helps to have that perspective.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All right. Well, thank you all for that. It warms my heart to hear some nice feedback, because it was fun to write, and I just thought, this has got to do some good out there, and I can already feel that it's going to, so I'm happy for that. Gosh, if we can convert a lot of people, and especially youth and young adults, oh, my gosh, how exciting that would be. And Donald, you know, you do carry on these conversations every day with people.
Yes. It's so awesome. I just couldn't help it. You know, it's really – just overview. I'm looking forward to getting into the nitty gritty, and that's what I love
about this.
You can get into the nitty gritty and the meat and potatoes. And I'm a meat and potatoes kind of person. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it's got beef.
With a little bit of gravy. With a with some gravy. That's a lot of gravy in there.
If you're diabetic, you got to limit the potatoes.
Not in this case, though. Not in this case.
You can have all the potatoes you want, right?
That's right.
So tonight, folks, we're going to Vicksburg, Mississippi, and the year is 1943, and Mary is called Our Lady of Graces there. This is a very unique story. Claude Newman is a visionary, and he was a 20-year-old African-American who was sitting on death row in a Mississippi prison, 1943. His crime was that of ambushing and shooting a man named Sid Cook, who was a horrible, abusive second husband of his beloved grandmother. Oh, yeah, if someone was abusing your grandmother, that would fire you up. And so this was his crime, that he ambushed and shot the guy who was abusing his beloved grandmother. And although the murder may have felt emotionally justified, Claude found himself, nevertheless, awaiting execution in this Mississippi prison near Vicksburg. Well, one day he noticed a medal hanging around the neck of a fellow prisoner. And Claude asked the young man what it was. The other prisoner responded by cursing and throwing the medal to the ground. "Take it," he said. The medal was a miraculous medal of Our Lady of Graces. Now, Claude knew nothing about it. It was actually who was actually pictured on it or what it represented. Nevertheless, Claude picked up the oval trinket and hung it around his neck. Well, during that night, Claude was awakened by a touch on his wrist. Looking around, he beheld a glowing supernatural vision. Here we go. Quote, "the most beautiful woman that God ever created," unquote. The lady
like what,
calmed.
Kind of
yeah,
like what we
like,
saw in
like
St.
Albert?
The example. Yes,
yeah.
St. Albert. But, you know, this story really begins with a prayer of dedication during World War II when Father O'Leary found himself in a dangerous situation in Holland. Father O'Leary's prayer was that if he survived this war, he would build a church in honor of Our Lady, the Virgin Mary. As time went and space had come and gone, Father Malcolm O'Leary did survive the war and was in the United States serving, guess where? In Vicksburg, Mississippi. And the Virgin Mary never forgot Father O'Leary's promise, even when the good priest, at least for a while, did forget. As the result of the following story, this church was dedicated in 1947, where it stands today. So do you have anything on that as well, John?
Oh, yeah. Yep, I got that in here. But it's neat that he starts right out with a comment that we hear in almost every single apparition, the most beautiful woman God's ever created. You know, I just would love to see that image because it's so impressive to everyone. And I just love to see the actual, real, beautiful vision of Mary. It'd be just overwhelming, I'm sure. And this lady calmed the frightened prisoner and said to him, quote, "If you would like me to be your mother and you, my child, send for a priest of the Catholic Church." Notice she does specify the Catholic Church. Then the beautiful woman simply vanished. "A ghost! A ghost!" he screamed. "A ghost!" screamed Claude. He begged and pleaded for a Catholic priest to come see him. The next morning, Father Robert O'Leary was summoned. This priest was the one who preserved these details and documented all these events. So after listening to the extraordinary experience that Claude described, the priest discovered that Claude was illiterate and knew nearly nothing about religion. So the priest began to slowly and carefully teach him about the Catholic faith. Four other prisoners who were deeply impressed by Claude's experience and details joined into the teachings of Catholicism. And occasionally, two sisters from Father O'Leary's church join the catechetical team to teach these inmates. Several weeks later, when Father introduced the sacrament of confession, Claude unexpectedly blurted out, quote, "Oh, I know about that. The lady told me that when we go to confession, we are kneeling down not before a priest, but before the cross of her son. And that when we are truly sorry for our sins and we confess our sins, the blood he shed flows down over us and washes us free from all sins." The priest and nuns were stunned at this new revelation coming out of Claude's mouth. Seeing their shock and surprise, Claude heartily apologized. Oh, don't be angry. Don't be angry. I didn't mean to blurt it out. Assuring Claude that he was far from angry, Father O'Leary asked Claude if he had seen the lady again. Taking the priest aside, Claude admitted that he had. Quote, she told me that if you doubted me or showed hesitancy, I was to remind you that lying in a ditch in Holland during the war in 1940, you made a vow to her, which she's still waiting for you to keep. Unquote. Let me read that again. Claude said to this priest, O'Leary, Mary said that if you doubted me or showed hesitancy, I was to remind you that lying in a ditch in Holland during the war in 1940, you made a vow to her, which she's still waiting for you to keep. This truth,
yep.
I know, I love it. This truth of this amazing revelation firmly convinced Father O'Leary of the authenticity of Claude's. You know, Mary likes to throw in those little nuggets every now and then just to let you know that she knows your life. In fact, during the war, Father O'Leary had prayed through Blessed Mary's intercession for his own survival, promising to build a church in honor of the Immaculate Conception if he lived to do so. There was no way that this prisoner on death row could have known about that priest's private prayerful promise in 1940. And the Virgin Mary, through Claude, was correct. Father O'Leary had not built that promised church yet. With new inspiration and determination, this priest made sure that the church was finally built. He knew heaven was watching. His promise was fulfilled with its completion in 1947, and it is still standing today in Clarksdale, Mississippi. I stopped there for a second. Y'all might want to comment on all that. Any thoughts?
Yeah. Well, yeah, in fact, that's what I had shared also. So that just tells you that this Father O'Leary, you know, he was in Holland when he made this promise. And fortunately, he did make it back. He did survive.
Yeah, and he better keep his promise, as if heaven would forget.
When you make a promise to Mary, that's one you kind of got to keep.
Oh, yeah.
You don't, you can't, I mean, that's not what, oh, I'm only kidding. No, the repercussions of that.
Yeah,
you got to keep your word to Mary.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well,
we
make
a promise to pray the rosary. To make the promise to pray the rosary, we should make that dedication, and we encourage people to pray the rosary, the weapon, as St. Padre Pio called it, the weapon, and it's something that we should be doing, you know, daily if we can. And
mm-hmm.
some, you know, so it's
this part of the this part of the story makes me kind of nervous.
Why is that?
Because I don't know if there was a lot of deals made up in that deer stand before I shot that 12-point buck.
Kind of deals.
I can't remember, but I'm sure I thought of a few.
Well, I think someone will remind you.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's hilarious. Oh, hey, the promises we make to heaven, we better not forget them. You can see you're arriving at the gates to heaven, and Jesus says, remember what you said you were going to do? Oops.
No, I didn't remember. Thanks for the 12-point book. That guy looks great on my wall.
Well, did you get him or not?
Oh, yeah, I got him. I sat in that stupid deer stand for 3 years, and I'm like, come on, God, just send me a deer this year. I'm so tired of this. And 30 minutes into deer season, here he comes. And I was like, bang, and he just fell over dead. And I'm like, yeah.
Way to go, Kathy.
Yeah, my brothers were so mad. Like, that was a really good one.
Shows prayer works.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Well, he must have realized you suffered enough for 3 years.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. I feel like he knew. And I've gotten one pretty much every year since, but never a big buck like that, which I don't care what size he was, but it was fun.
Well, I guess the buck stops there.
Dave's like, no more deer. We don't have room in the freezer. I'm like, oh, but there's a 10-pointer out there.
Well, we learned something about you, Kathy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
first,
Father
the first question anybody should ask when you're hunting deer is, how do you spell it?
I-T.
C-E-E-R.
Okay.
Spell it. I-T.
Yeah. Back at you, Mike.
There you go.
All right. Well, as Father O'Leary and Claude Newman returned to the class on confession, Claude told his classmates, quote, "You should not be afraid of confession. You're really telling God your sins, not the priest. You know, the lady said that confession is something like a telephone. We talk to the priest, to God, and God talks back to us through the priest." About a week later, when Father O'Leary and the sisters were preparing to teach on the Blessed Sacrament, Bud asked if he could share what the lady had told him about the Eucharist. The catechist joyfully acquiesced, shared with everyone. Now, see, this is great. He's now teaching everyone what Mary's taught him. So this is what she said. Quote, "The lady told me that in communion I will only see what looks like a piece of bread. But she told me that it really and truly is her son, and that he will be with me just as he was with her before he was born in Bethlehem. She told me that I should spend my time like she did during her lifetime with him, in loving him, adoring him, thanking him, praising him, and asking him for blessings. I shouldn't be distracted or bothered by anybody else or anything else, but I should spend those few minutes in the Eucharist in my thoughts alone with him." Unquote. Wow. Pretty amazing. Well, finally, the inmates or catechumens were received into the church. The baptismal records of St. Mary's Parish in Vicksburg record Claude's baptismal day as January 16th, 1944. And he was actually scheduled for execution just 4 days later on January 20th. However, not a bad time to get baptized, that's for sure. As Sheriff Williamson asked Claude Newman if he had any last requests, he could not believe what the young prisoner told him. Quote, "Well, all my friends are all shook up. The jailer's all shook up. But you all don't understand. I'm not going to die. Only this body is. I'm going to be with her. So then I would like to have a party." And so Claude Newman had his party with cake and ice cream, and his fellow inmates were allowed to attend. Now, on the morning of his execution, Claude was full of joy as he prepared with Father O'Leary. Sheriff Williamson rushed in, shouting that the governor had granted a two-week reprieve. To the sheriff's amazement, Claude broke down in tears, sobbing and crying inconsolably. Through his tears, he said, "But you don't understand. If you ever saw her face and looked into her eyes, you wouldn't want to live another day without her. What have I done wrong these past weeks that God would refuse me my going home? Why must I still remain here for 2 weeks?" Then Father O'Leary had an inspiration, and perhaps the reason why. There was another prisoner, James Hughes, also on death row for murder. Despite having been raised Catholic, he had led a horribly, horribly immoral life. Furthermore, James had a particular hatred for Claude and all priests as well. Father O'Leary proposed to Claude that he offer his disappointment on not being executed that day for the conversion of James Hughes. Claude spent his final 2 weeks generously offering his prayers for the salvation of his troubled fellow inmate. Finally, Claude Newman was executed on February 4th, 1944. Father O'Leary testified, quote, "I have never seen anybody go to his death as joyfully and as happily. Even the official witnesses and the newspaper reporters were amazed." They said they, man, there's a lot of noise in the background. They said
muted.
Okay. They said they couldn't understand how anyone could sit in the electric chair beaming with happiness, unquote. Now, when the time came for James Hughes to be executed, he violently refused all spiritual assistance, cursing and blaspheming, even while seated on the electric chair. Had Claude's prayerful efforts all been in vain? The sheriff asked James if he had any last words. Suddenly, looking to a corner of the room, there was a surprised, then horrified look on James's face. James suddenly shouted, "Get me a priest! Get me a priest!" Well, Father O'Leary was in the room, so he approached James and heard his full confession. Then Sheriff Williamson, who could not bear his own curiosity, asked the condemned man what was in the corner. James explained he had seen Claude Newman with the Blessed Virgin standing behind Claude with her hands on his shoulders. Claude had obtained from Our Lady that James be given a glimpse of his place in hell, where he was about to go. And what James saw in hell filled him with such horror that is when he screamed for the priest. Having confessed his sins, he could now die in peace. Once again, the simple wearing of the miraculous medal of Our Lady of Graces called down Our Lady's maternal gaze, saving not just the soul of Claude Newman, but of many souls in that Mississippi prison. Woo-hoo! Wow, what do you guys think of that story?
Well, the reality of hell is definitely...
That's what I think of it. Sorry.
What'd you say?
I said, whatsoever you do to the least of my people, that you do unto me. I mean,
love
these are
it.
Truly the rejects, right? God's the least of God's people, but look, all that action being taken place in there for these people that God so loves.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
I think if
well,
many people got a vision of their future, there'd be a whole lot more conversions.
You got that right. You got that right. Everyone should be shown a week before they die where they are going and see how they act in that last week to try to get on the right path quick.
Pencils down.
Donald.
I mean, if you look at it that way, you know, you remember those time tests that we took when we were younger? You know, and when you heard those words, two words, the scariest word, you'd rather take a butt whooping than hear pencils down. And there's no retest. There's no retest. This is it. The angels go through their test. This is ours. And when we done, we go one or two places. Yeah.
What's very awesome about
you're going to heaven eventually,
right?
What's very awesome about the story is Claude didn't receive his baptism until shortly before he died. When you receive baptism, you are wiped clean from all of your sin and all the punishment due to sin. So it's not likely that he went to purgatory at all. He went to heaven.
Right. Oh, yeah. He was with Mary. Yep. Yeah. He did very well.
Mary had got purgatory.
Yeah. And, you know, even though he killed a man, that man had horribly, violently abused his beloved grandmother. And, you know, in a lot of courts, he probably would have gotten off. You know, it's like self-defense or protecting the grandmother or whatever. But anyway, I think that's one reason Mary came to him too. He'd already suffered a lot for really admirable act of protecting his grandmother. But, so it goes in the justice system.
Well, didn't Christ say, you know, lay down your life for your brother is one of the great things that you can do?
Yep. Yep.
Every soldier out there knows that.
Yep. Donald, you always like this story.
No greater love. No greater love. No greater love can a man have than to lay down his life for his friend.
In this country, isn't a man innocent until proven guilty in a court of law?
Not Trump.
Well, he didn't deny that he killed him, Mike. He was.
He wasn't proven guilty in a court of law. He was proven guilty, or he was attempted to be proven guilty by somebody else with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
Yeah. Donald, you always like this story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very powerful because of conversion and revelation. And, you know, there's, you know, saints that have had experiences of hell. Saint Faustina, for example. Oh, gosh, what a description she reveals about it, and nobody in their right mind would want to even think about it or go in there. But unfortunately, what happens is people get caught up in drugs and power, because nobody would choose hell, but what happens is people choose the way to hell, if you know what I mean. And that's the battle. That is the battle right there.
Small steps.
Yeah.
I did these seminars, drug awareness seminars, for parents and teens, because nobody wakes up and says, I want to become a crackhead. You know, it happens in small steps, and the choices that we make lead to other choices, and the company we keep. You know, part of my research, I went out and I actually talked to dealers and addicts and got their input. And the way the dealers work is, at first, they'll give you the product. It's free here. Take all you want. Take all you want. And now I own you. And that's how that works. So they it comes out with a small step, a little favor here, a little pro quo or whatever the statement is. You wind up feeling that you cannot get out from under this. And that's what they want you to believe. But really, it all comes up to the decision, this isn't what I want with my life. I want something better. And you make that choice. And it's a hard choice to make. Trust me, I've done it. You go cold turkey with everything, just walk away from the whole lifestyle. And you build. And with Mary as your guide and Jesus as your anchor, you can't fail. It's going to be hard. This is a test. And tests are meant to be hard. But it can be done. I'm living proof of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you ask my wife where I was living when she met me, and she'll tell you I was living in a plywood shack in a swamp in Florida.
Oh, wow.
2 months before I met her, I was driving a sports car. I had beautiful women that I took care of. I had money every night, sex, anything I wanted. It was there. It was abundant. But the retirement plan wasn't what I wanted. So I one day just left everything and decided to rebuild my life from scratch. And it was probably the only reason I'm alive today.
You should be writing a book.
I've been told that, you know, and the thing is I'd have to sell it in fiction because nobody would believe it. I would love to do it. I just don't have a clue on how. I'm not much of a writer. But
well, if you just you can talk into a recorder or even a computer program that just types your speech. Just tell your story. Just in your way.
I need people to poke and prod me, keep me going, because I've tried that, but I got the attention issues. And you know, writing a book takes a lot of focus and time. And right now with the homestead and everything else and the injuries, those are the two things I'm lacking the most. But, yeah, I would love to see it written out. It would be a hell of a ride. It's been a hell of a ride. It really is. I'm blessed. I can wiggle my toes. I should have been dead 100 times over. I believe that God has that term, divine providence, we don't know. And looking back, hindsight is 2020. I look back at my life and all the trials and tribulations that I've gone through, and I look at where I'm at now, and I'm like, how in the hell did that happen? And the only way the only thing that makes sense is divine providence, because there's no way I could have done it. There's absolutely no way. You know, like I said, my wife found when we met, I had just gone for this transition. But originally, I come from the poorest of the poor in America. I literally the poorest, abject poverty, and I clawed. Nobody gave me nothing. They told me I will never learn how to read. I got a teaching degree. All my life, you can't do it. You can't do it. And something drove me. Something pushed me. And the more they told me I couldn't do it, the more I wanted to. And the obstacles that I overcame, I look back and I'm like, I could not have done that by myself. And I told this to the late, great Father Keene. He was out of Florida one day during my conversion. And without missing a beat, this man said, well, that was the Holy Spirit. I mean, and when he said that, it all clicked. I'll never forget him saying that. The authority that he said it with was like a light bulb. And then I had my whole idea of if Christ hadn't come and he came now and he walked, this guy walks up to you, says, follow me. You drop what you're doing. You follow him. He shows you the mysteries of the universe, creates food, raises the dead, does all this stuff, and then says, they're going to take me away. But before I go, I want you to do this. Would you or would you not do it? The answer would be yes. So here I am.
That's
pretty much
a story.
That's the Reader's Digest version.
That was awesome, though. That's just amazing. Amazing. There's such a story there to be told. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe your book could be With God, Anything is Possible.
It's been a life, I tell you. I mean, I've started a couple times, but I don't even know where they're at, actually. I got a cassette, one of the order things. I think I got a book on that, but not about me. Well, that one is more of a political statement. I'd like to find that and get that one printed. Mainly what I need is the research done on it, because I make a lot of claims on it of stuff that I know because I've seen it. But you know you have to have the actual data, right?
Sure.
So,
sure. Yeah.
And I can't find the color red on the computer, so I'm not the guy to look that up. But
okay. You know. Well, next week, guys, we're going to Poland, 1882, all the way through 1945. That's interesting. But most of it happens in 1382. And it looks like it would be pronounced Sestachowa, Poland. But I was corrected by a Polish person that it's pronounced Czesłowa. Czesłowa. Though it looks like Czesłowa, even though it looks like Sestachowa. And it's called the Black Madonna, which does not mean that she's of African origin. There's a reason why she's called the Black Madonna, but not because she's black. That will be explained next week. But what a great story that's going to be, though. A lot of neat stuff in that story that I had no idea how deep that story goes. So a lot of cool stuff in that one. So
it's a painting by St. Luke. St. Luke painted it.
Yes, that's right. And we'll talk about that next week. So let's go around and see if anyone has any last comments before we do our worldwide Hail Mary.
That's where our priest went to. Our priest went there and actually went there this last week. He went on vacation there. And
Wow.
Very interesting.
Wow, that's neat. Mm-hmm. Kathy, any last comments from you?
I was just thinking about Doc's story, and I think that in a way, God, there's this saying that always goes through my head that has great meaning to me. There's beauty in the breaking, and it's the breaking of our own will. And some of us is harder than other people.
Amen.
There is a profound breaking, and there is beauty from putting those pieces back together again and turning our will over to God.
Joseph said it best. Don't waste your suffering. You know, with Joseph that comes on the show, he said it said it best. Don't waste your suffering. Suffering is a gift from God. Don't waste it. Use it. It's a very powerful. It's a very powerful.
And when we use our suffering for good, the devil, who actually inflicts a lot of that pain, it just burns his butt.
Yeah, he's got a hot seat in hell, all right. Oh, my, yes. Well, and we grow from pain in my field of psychology and dealing with so many people. People don't grow from being spoiled and having it easy, you know, everything they want. They grow when they suffer and they have a lot of pain. And those become some of the best adults, and eventually some become saints. You know, they grow from their pain and some of their bad starts that they had. And, you know, so many of the saints started badly, very badly, horribly badly. That's in my book, too, just briefly. But, wow. So, hey, when you guys read the chapter on Catholics, I really want to hear what you think. There's a lot of false beliefs about Catholics, and I devoted a whole chapter to that debate, and I think it's chapter 5, so yeah, be interested to see what y'all think of that.
That's the one I got up to.
Yeah. Yeah, the title of that chapter is Catholics Aren't Christians.
It's always nice to give the devil a hot foot.
I've heard that.
You know,
yeah.
One time I found a track and it had like 10-15 pages, and each page had a question, $50 to prove why, you know, or to explain why Catholics do saints, or to prove Mary, you know, just every anti-Catholic argument you can. And you can come up with. And I gave it to my wife, and within 2 weeks, I had a 50-page booklet that answered every question, both secularly and biblically. And we sent it to them. And after about 2 months, I tried to contact them. Hey, where's the check? And they're like, we're still researching this. Yeah, you take your time. You know, the problem is most Catholics don't understand their faith. They don't know the history of it. They don't know what's going on now. So they're unprepared.
Yeah.
When somebody comes at them and gives them some little nugget that they pulled out and changed and everything, and before you know it, they're going down this wrong path. And instead of finding an answer to the questions that are being presented to them, they just follow along.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
so
right.
If somebody comes to you and gives you a question on your faith and you don't know the answer, it's okay to say, I don't know, but I'll find out. And then go find out. There is an answer. I tell you what, one thing I learned in 28 years of marriage, there is always an answer. There is always an answer.
And you know what the answer is?
The answer.
You know what the answer is? Yes, dear.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, when I was coming up, and I've been pretty much every denomination, Protestant religion you can think of, traveled around a lot. I did, and you asked the question, and it was, well, you got to have faith. You got to have faith. You got to have faith. And we're right, and they're wrong. We're going to heaven, and they're not. And that was pretty much it. Well, I asked my wife a question, and she said, well, in this year right here, this person did this, and this person did that, and this was done, and they had this counsel. She actually had answers. There are answers, real answers. It doesn't just boil down to faith. I mean, there's actual documentation. Like, there's scientific proof. There's pictures. There's video. I mean, come on. You know, what more do you want?
Right.
So,
right. Well, on that note, we're going to wrap it up and do our worldwide Hail Mary so that all these voices from around the world, all these different countries, will come together in unison and our voices will rise to heaven, hopefully making heaven smile that we're honoring our Blessed Mother.
Hey, John.
So join with me. Yes.
Before you do, let's remind everybody that Dr. Gregory Thompson is on tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel, with the Eucharistic miracle that's going to knock your socks off.
Okay. You just did. So,
right.
Nice plug there for a great show. And let's proceed now. Join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Kathy, take it away for your version.
Nomine Patri Filii Spiritui Sancti. Pater Noster, qui es in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in terra et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Ene nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos de malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tua Mariaibus, benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri Filio Spiritui Sancto, sicut in erat et in principio, et nunc et in per saecula saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri Filii Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
All right.
That was beautiful. You have a beautiful voice, Gabby.
That's what it says in the deer blind.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
I shot the same deer twice this year. It's quite a story.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my.
So where my deer stand is, sometimes the deer will come running down behind me, and I got a and Tom and Dad says, just shoot them running. Like, okay, here they come. So I got a bolt action 243, and one come in where I could see the side of it, you know, the side of it, that's the perfect shot. And so I whammed it, and I thought, I put the gun up, and I moved the bolt action, and I'm ready for the next one because I got four tags. I don't know if that deer whirled or come back around, but I saw it slide through the Yeah, there was definitely movement. Like, the deer moved, and then it must have come back around or flipped or something. And I shot that deer again within an inch of the first hole, straight to the heart. It had two shots to the heart, less than an inch apart. I was like, well, that's some pretty good shooting, but I thought
that
I had two deer.
Oh, were you Annie Oakley?
You
I don't know, but I was like shocked myself. But I was like, well, I shot in the heart two times. So
I'll tell you what, Kathy, if you ever plan on coming to Tennessee, you're welcome to come and hunt on my property anytime.
Okay, sounds good.
I got deer running all over the bloody place, and I got three stands set up.
Wow.
She'll
be right over.
Yeah, today was the last day of deer season here.
Back to you, Donald.
Well, wonderful show tonight. Wonderful. And thank everybody.
Thank you, Donald.
Thank you all. Getting ready for this today has been the Christ the King, and we're next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, so the coming of the King. So we've got a lot. We got a lot to look as we get into this Advent season. So I wish everybody a great week, and everybody have a good evening. So God bless you. Thank you, John, for all the good information that you've given and all the participation that everybody had. So that's what makes this so good. And we have a lot of listeners out there that it is really good. So thank you all. And thank you all of you who listen to us. And because at this time the wise men were following the star leading to Christmas. So good night, everybody.
Night.
When all the lambs are sound asleep, we'll keep them safe through the night. But there's a new star that we've seen, one that looks really bright.
Here he comes, it says.
Well, there's angels in the starry skies. You'll think the friend.
Here he comes, it says.
Yeah, there's angels in the starry skies. Look kinda like the spaceship. He's in Bethlehem. Yeah, he's in Bethlehem. That's when you can see Christ. You gotta look in your books if you check Micah. You'll see why Micah said there's something happening above.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.